We've made a wrong turn, and we are on the run. Oh, somewhere in Texas, and we're staying up at a little casita hacienda with seven other locals, and Billy Zane is outside, and he's trying to get in. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast.
Aloha.
I was gonna been like, we made a wrong turn and Courtney's falling in love with Billy Zane.
I was like, oh my god, like Cowboy Billy Zane. Oh boy.
Cowboy Billy Zane. Today we're gonna be doing a movie Courtney's been trying to get on the pod for a really, really long time. We're gonna be doing Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight. I really always enjoy this movie. I thought it was super fun.
It's one of those that's always had bad ratings, but when you watch it, you're like, this is fun. It's good.
This is fun. Yes. Movie.
I mean, it's one of those where I think I was like 7 years old when I watched it, and it was a many awakenings for me.
And before we get into it, let's see. Have you seen anything recently?
Yes, I finally got the chance to watch Smile 2.
Yeah, I think I also recently watched it. All right, initial thoughts.
I enjoyed it, and I ended up watching them back to back because I was like, "All right, cool, I can watch Smile as well." So I did that one first, which is an incredible movie. Like, no notes on that one. I think it's fantastic. And then the second one just picks up exactly where that one left off, which I loved. I was like, oh, this worked out great. I didn't really realize that. I think it was great for a sequel. I really liked it. I thought it was too long, though. it got to the point where I was like, oh my fucking god, like, okay, twists, okay, twists. And I'm like,
I think they had us running around in circles for a little bit, for a little too long. Mm-hmm. I was a little like, but I did enjoy it. I was also really excited to see it. So I think part of my liking it was like, oh, I can't wait to see this because I did enjoy. We always love like a novel approach. And this was definitely that. It was like the best movie ever. No, it was, but it's also like a horror movie. It's not going to change my life. And rarely do you feel like do horror movies do that, but it was entertaining. Yeah. To stress you out. I stressed you out a little bit.
No, they story tell a manic episode fantastically.
Yeah.
And so like but it got to the point in the end where I was like, okay, like again, like, you know, like, and then I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait, what really is happening?
Yeah, exactly. Like that was my only issue is like how it did the whole thing, the whole whoop-de-doo on the end for us, like the last one where we're just like, oh, you know, like none of that really happened, or the last couple minutes didn't happen, like in part one. And then you're like, wait, when did it switch over? Like, what actually did happen? What
I know, because there was a whole, I don't want to like ruin it for anyone because it is still kind of fresh, but all there's right, this
spoiler
whole,
alert now.
Spoils, but there's a whole mini kind of like subplot with her, the main character. By the way, great cast, excellent acting. But with the main character, with her meeting the one doctor who's like, we can end this. Like, we just kind of have to, I have to like kill you for a couple minutes so the thing dies and then I'm going to bring you back to life.
I thought completely plausible, you know, in this
world. I was totally fine with that. I liked it. I'm like, cool, I can get down with this. But then once the ending is revealed, like the true ending, I kind of was like, well, what was the point of him? Like was he real? Was he part of her manic episode? Like all that. I'm like,
could have been a really good parallel for that. And like, 100%. Like mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been,
I mean, they touch mental illness. When I say storytelling that well, I think they did. I was like, wow, like that's great. And if they do a third one, that's going to be fucking interesting.
I mean, I also did love the bonkers ending of like, a whole stadium of people now have it. Like, I'm like, oh, that was so good. Because, like, can you really top that after that? Like, at this point, it's a plague. And
it's a plague. Like, yeah. I'm like, that's tricky. Because I did, like, a quick little upload on our socials. Hey, TikTok's back.
Hey, look at all the things we were afraid of. It's not happening anymore.
But I wondered if anyone has touched on this. I didn't look into it, but do you remember one of the Truth or Dare movies, the better one? I know there's a couple, but I can't remember exactly what year came up, but there's a better one. There's a lot of similarities.
Is it the one? I don't remember how it ended. Oh,
it's the one where they have like creepy, they almost have like a creepy smile thing going on when they're like going through. They're like, oh my God, I'm being truth or dared right now.
And they can't help but do whatever they can't
help anything. Yeah. Again, I should have like looked this up to help everyone. One second, let me pull it up.
No. I mean, I think you're 100% right. I think you're right. There is we could do a little bit of a deep dive in the comparison. And can anybody sue the other one? Ooh.
I even said this in our little video. The Smile movies are far superior. They are way better than that fucking Truth or Dare movie. But anyway, spoilers for this Truth or Dare movie. It's been out for a minute, but they find out that like it's a truth or dare monster. I can't remember what they give the monster a name, and in order they have to like keep the game going, because if it comes back to them, that's when they die. And so in order to keep the game going, they upload it on YouTube. And so then everyone on YouTube watches it. And now like this is a giant truth or dare game that can like start killing kids basically. So I was just like drawing the comparisons to that. And then obviously like how Smile 2 ended, I'm like, I'm sure those people saw that movie, but again, Smile 2 and Smile are like far superior horror films. Like, but I just like, I was, I caught those similarities kind of right away.
That's actually really funny though. Like now I'm like looking at the photos for Truth or Dare and like you're 100% right. Like the Smile thing and they can't help what they're doing. Like they both made bank at the box office. Like Smile 2 made 138 million, and then Truth or Dare made like 95 million. And that looked like a pretty simple, like
it was simple. It was kind of like your teen slasher. Let's play a scary game. But I know that there was another Truth or Dare movie. It came out around the same time as that one.
Oh, yeah.
But that one was not nearly as good. So the one with the smiles is better. But then Smile and Smile 2 are even better. But no, yeah, I was even like...
Even in the Truth or Dare movies, I had decent plot development, decent characters. Just like everybody was like, oh, everybody had secrets and, you know, whatever. You remained... It wasn't a bad... I remember, you know, like... But I wonder if this is like... I wonder if this is like our generation of like B movies, or like 20 years from now, we're going to be like telling our like kids and our other kids that are just watching like, oh yeah, that's a bad movie. It's a decent watch, but it's a bad movie.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like I watched the original Crazies on Midnight Pulp. And I was like, this isn't a great movie, but it's just, and it's George A. Romero. So he did it, I think, after Night of the Living Dead. And It just keeps going. And like it has elements there that are really, really like entertaining and messed up, but it's a B movie, you know, like nowhere near as good as Night of the Living Dead. But yeah, no. It's interesting. I wonder if maybe we could do like a bigger deep comparison between these movies. I think
I would have to hold on to
something here.
I mentioned it. I was like, did anyone catch on to this? Am I the only person that remembered that the Truth or Dare movie had the weird smile people?
No, I love it. I love this kind of thing. I love doing this deep, deep little dive, finding these little comparisons. This is like our nerd thing. It's like our nerd thing coming in.
And then that's why I was like, well, maybe people have already done this, but whatever. Like, I'm bringing it up again.
Maybe it's like one of those things where it's like almost the exact same. I mean, hopefully not. Where it's a very similar premise or similar script.
But again, the Smile movies are better. Like, I love the Smile monster.
Well, this
parasite.
You know, this this basically gave us a sequel, the Truth or Dare. I mean, I don't even know if there's like a direct to video.
I don't think so. Not after that one. They didn't do, because how do you, again, same with how Smile 2 ended. Like, what do you do next? It's basically a plague. Like, it's basically like everyone's infected and you're just like, well, fuck.
Unless you're willing to go down that route.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but it's a challenge to do it well.
It's a completely different premise now, all of a sudden. Yes. And it's a completely different movie. You know, it's something along the lines of fucking Bird Box or fucking.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Fireplace.
Yeah. You know? It's
an apocalyptic level movie.
You've changed it. It's no longer just we're focusing on a one or two characters.
Yeah. The only other interesting thing was that for Smile 2, you know who played the boyfriend of our main character?
Ray Nicholson.
That was weird. I was like, yeah, like what he does the smile thing. It's just like, dude, he looks exactly like his pop.
Yeah, I mean, I made bank on the promotions with him. I mean, he's barely in it, but he does well. Like, it's a very believable character. He's fun. But yeah, he looks like his dad in The Shining. And I'm like, there we go. That's why we brought him in.
I mean, if you're going to be
him in a very Shining-esque, like, situation.
100%. The only other thing is that we've been seeing some crazy trailers, too, drop. You posted one, and I saw something else recently that I thought was really interesting. And then I think, like, next month, I think The Companion comes out for Valentine's Day, which it's going on down a lot of that AI sex robot sort of horror genre that is now popping up.
When is that going to be like an actual thing?
Oh, the sex robot? How far away?
I mean, I know it's like, but I mean, like, where everyone is just, I'm worried. Like, well, everyone's just going to be like, I'm so lonely, I'm going to start fucking an AI robot. Like,
well, the sex doll thing, I mean, it's been around for a long time.
I know sex dolls have been around for a long time, but this is next level.
Yeah. This one, it seems interesting. It seems fun. But I mean, like, what? Ex Machina had already done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Subservience with Megan Fox.
Yes.
And I think there was another one. Some people had mentioned down like a huge list of them. And then it was like, oh, just another one. Like, this has been going on for a while that you're just realizing like it's becoming more and more of a trend. But this one looks fun. And then The Monkey, we went down that Stephen King rabbit hole last episode.
I know. And you sent me that trailer and it looks awesome. I think it looks great.
Okay. Mailing says hi.
I was going to say, baby emergency.
Oh, yeah, she's on double baby duty right now. The monkey looks, I mean, I hate to get hyped for a trailer.
I know, but it does. It looks great.
Looks really, really fun. And I think there was something else, too, but I think we'll leave it for next time. But maybe we could do a deep dive on maybe we'll just do Truth or Dare next
episode. Maybe we're just like, actually, we have to look into this now.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we'll segue into our movie today, and we're on the run. And Courtney's got a key filled with the blood of Christ, and for some reason, this works into the Tales from the Crypt universe, which I have no idea how.
It was a one-off kind of situation. This one and Bordello of Blood were standalone HBO Tales from the Crypt movies. And I don't know about Bordello of Blood, but this one wasn't based on any comic, most Tales from the Crypt episodes are. But I'm not mad at it. Not mad at it one second.
Love every second.
It's pretty good.
It's actually pretty good.
So, Demon Knight, 1995, directed by Ernest Dickerson, who I quick looked him up. He's done, as most recent, some episodes of Dexter, which I did not know, and episodes of The Walking Dead. Exactly, full circle. You know I love me some Dexter. This obviously stars our lovely Billy Zane, who, when I say this was an awakening for me, boy, was it. And when I rewatched it last night, I was like, oh my God, what a ham he is.
Makes the movie like so much better by his presence.
by his presence. And yes, he's the king demon. Like, he's the bad guy. But you love him. You just absolutely love him. And now I'm grown enough to realize that, like, obviously that's not attractive in a person to be that toxic. But I mean, hey, I was in love with Cowboy Billy Zane.
Sorry to cut you off.
No,
there was a little bit of a like he can't tell her he loves her, Jada Pinkett. But then he like, you know, then his like whole fire penis thing whips out and
fire penis really, really at the end. Like, yeah, whoa, yeah. Whoa.
And then he apologizes and like, oh yeah, abusive relationship. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, whoa. You're like, oh, piece of shit. Like, because everything else he does, like the whole time. But no, yeah, like clearly I was like, nope, love him. Love the demon man. Like,
I mean, you hate to say it, but you want a charismatic villain. Like he mm-hmm. was charismatic, he was charming, he was funny. He was the only levity. Well, no. There was a little bit of levity in the movie, but like he's the majority of it and he's really well at delivering it. And like you were just, it was just entertaining to watch him on screen. I'm just like, he carried part of that movie 100%.
Mm-hmm. I think he's the most memorable, but that, with that being said, it is a great cast. Like, yeah. So let me just go over the plot real quick. We have, again, our lovely Billy Zane, who is the lead demon, or AKA the collector.
Ooh.
And it opens up with those two, Billy Zane and then Frank Baker is the character's name, played by the lovely William Sadler, which I had to remember most recently we had watched him in Disturbing Behavior. And he was my favorite because he was like a Charlie Kelly Rat King.
Rats from the Bay. Rats from the Bay.
And I'm like, oh, like, but I don't actually remember him from too much other than this movie, or whenever I see him, I think of Demon Knight. So it opens with those two in a chase, and Frank Baker, we just end up calling him Baker throughout the movie, is, you come to find out, been handed down this key that's filled with the blood of Christ, and he has been chosen to fight this demon, to be able to like save the world. And now this whole plot line is very kind of loosey-goosey. It's like Frank does like kind of explain it later on how he got the key. And he's apparently been alive since like 1917 when he first got the key. And he has little stars on his hand that signify the seven, because at one time there were seven keys and he now holds a seventh key, but the sixth key, all the other keys, the demons got back because they were displaced by God. Like, it's, I've never once ever fucking heard this story before in my life.
Yeah, it's just something they made up for the movie.
Clearly made up. You can't like look into any other folklore. I'm like, no, they just fucking made this up.
It's fantasy writing. It's fine.
It's fantasy writing. Who cares? Yeah. And so Frank wanders into a old church that has been turned into like a boarding house. You know, for the longest time, I just thought it was like a regular ass hotel, but it's not. Like, these people live there. Like, there is Cordelia, who is a prostitute. There's Wally, who is a postal service worker who recently got fired, who is like our all around cuck. Like, the guy's the biggest fucking dork on the planet, who's deeply in love with Cordelia. There's Roach, who is a cook at the neighborhood diner, who is our asshole. We have Irene, who owns the motel, who's awesome. I love her. We have drunk Uncle Willie, who's like just this fun Uncle Willie around town. There's the kid, Danny, who you find out later is like the cook or the diner's kid, and they find him in the house and they kind of save him from the demons. And then we have our lovely Jada Pinkett Sandsmith. She was not a Smith yet, and she is Jerry Lynn and our convict and our lovely leading lady who I also had a crush on. Both of them. Her and Billy Zane.
Awakening. Simultaneous awakening.
Like, wait, what's happening? I like both of them.
That's funny.
Yeah. And what happens is Billy Zane kind of shows up with the police because, you know, Frank has like tried to steal a car, and then he ends up at this motel, but everyone's kind of suspicious of him. But like it moves pretty quickly as being like, he's trying to get this motherfucking key back because Frank Baker has the key. This demon, Billy Zane demon, needs his key back so he can continue to wreak havoc on the world. One of the first kills is Billy Zane just punching one of the cops fully through the head. There's also great lines in this movie. I like them. I like these cheesy lines that they have.
You're actually right. Like in the fantasy world, like that is like, it's one of those punches you'd probably like, oh man, he'd be so strong to punch right through her head. But nobody ever probably dared to show that until this fucking ridiculous movie. It's 100% right. Like it is a very memorable punch.
I just want to say there is like some just really great lines. Like there's like with Cordelia, who is our prostitute. Did I mention Roach? Oh yeah, they're our asshole of the film. I mean, because they call him an asshole like at least 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, yeah. Like only who was in Wings for like the longest time.
And like one of the lines is Cordelia is like sitting on the table, and then like the cat jumps up, and Irene, the owner of the motel, she's like, "Get that pussy off the table!" And like Cordelia jumps off and like runs away, and then she looks there, she goes, "I was talking about the cat." Once again, way too young to be watching this movie.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
There's also a really funny nipple zapping kink.
Oh yeah, that was like, that's funny.
With Roach and Cordelia, like, and the one of the cop walks in on them, and he's in the machine, it looks like huge, she's got him like hooked up, and she's like electrocuting his nipples. I'm like, this is great.
Like a car battery. It was like,
it's
it was
like a car battery.
Whatchamacallit, I feel like Tales from the Crypt was always funny like that. Like Tales from the Crypt always had to put a little bit of sex into their fucking stories, or their schlocky stories, because I guess that they knew that would bring more people in if they knew that there was going to be boobies on screen. Deputy Bob, who's played by Gary Farmer, who's I think most recently in one of the uncles in Reservation Dogs. I love him. I love him in Reservation Dogs. He's so, so good.
Yes, I do remember him in that movie.
Yeah. You're right. The script is pretty good. The movie moves along really well. Yes. Really, really good effects. The demons are
great.
Pretty memorable. Like, I don't know why. I mean, maybe because it was a Tales from the Crypt movie, it didn't do so well. But I mean, great. It's not a spectacular movie, but it's a fun, entertaining movie, especially like I was in like elementary school when this popped up. So like I'm way too young to watch this. I might have seen it the year later, something like that, like on HBO or whatever.
Yeah. But I think that I remember being very scared of the demons, like when they start attacking everyone in the church or the hotel, whatever you want to call it, in their green eyes. But Billy Zane has probably one of my most favorite moments from him, when he's still acting like this cowboy and he unleashes the demons because they're his children, and he starts like kissing them on the head. Like
what gets me, like in that scene, what gets me is like they're born with like earrings and like nose piercings, and like, I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, all right, I was like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Whatever. I'm really gonna start questioning like the logistics of a fucking fantasy, you know, demon movie. Like, you know, it didn't even dawn on me, Demon Knight, and I've probably seen this movie like fucking a dozen times, but like Knight spelled like K. I'm like, oh, because he is.
because William Frank Baker Bradley is the Demon Knight, and then eventually it's Jada Pinkett is the next Demon Knight.
Never fucking dawned on me ever that was what it was. I was so fucking silly. So fucking silly. Love the starting to the opening sequence with the like we're watching a movie within a movie sort of
deal. Oh, that's very Tales from the Crypt.
The set, yeah. And you get the first view of the Crypt Keeper like full on with as good as effects as they could do back then.
Yeah, like they actually had him walking because normally he's a puppet.
Oh yeah,
he's 100%. Always a puppet.
Awful.
But they did add some like a little awful CGI of him walking because he's directing this movie, which is I noticed that too.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, I said I wouldn't do any research on this, but I did do a little bit of research on this.
I knew you were going to. Sorry, I'm ready for anything you got for me.
Yeah. Well, so it turns out, like, all right, so this is where we already know that this is way better than Bordello of Blood.
Yes.
Bordello of Blood is like a 100% like a Tales from the Crypt episode on a movie scale. It doesn't even look any better than anything they produced. Demon Knight movie looks completely fucking different.
Yeah.
Night and day. Great set. Very little sex in this one because they focused more on the movie. Turns out this script was written way before Tales from the Crypt was even a TV show. This script was written like 2 years before Tales from the Crypt ever went into production. And then when a lot of other people were going to make this movie, and then it just turned, then it was just option to be the Tales from the Crypt, you know.
They offered to like give it some money basically.
Yeah, this could be one of the Tales from the Crypt episodes. Here's the script that was already written. Here, do with it what you please. Fun fact, they were going to be demons, but they weren't going to look like that.
Okay, because I actually did my research too. They were gonna be like not pastors, but biblical men, right?
Like salesmen or something like
that. Like biblical salesmen. Guys, Billy Zane was still gonna be the lead demon and still gonna like, you know, look a little different. Maybe they put him in a suit or something. But they decided to change it because they thought it was just a little too controversial.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's when Universal decided to give them a little bit more money for the demons.
To look way. I mean, I'm also for it. Like,
I'm for that movie.
100%. You totally could have done that. You still do the green blood, just do a bunch of guys in suits. It would have been fun.
Yeah.
In a couple of scenes, I did see
some of the demons. Deeper meaning. That? Sorry, I said you might have been able to like tie a little bit more of a deeper meaning since it is slightly biblical anyway with like the Jesus blood and stuff. But I like the demons.
I read salesman, but like you could have been Bible salesman, and like, yeah, 100%. Then you hit it on the head with the themes for sure. But then if you just do salesman, then you're just like,
I think it was salesman. And then Billy Zane was supposed to be like a pastor. And then the salesmen's were of that, like, you know, it was supposed to be something like that.
All you got to do is change a shirt. That's all you got to do. He's still going to be the exact same.
One of those, like the little collars. And I still would have had a crush on him.
You still would have been the exact same.
Church.
Yeah. It's in a church, you know?
Yes.
Fucking A. All right, it was there. And then this was supposed to spin off with two different sequels, a zombie New Orleans film, and then another one called Body Count. And I don't know what happened there as far as those other two movies didn't get made. But for some reason, Bordello of Blood got made. But I would have loved to see the zombie New Orleans film. And apparently this key was supposed to take place in each part of the Tales from the Crypt movie trilogy. They did try to put this key in Bordello of Blood, but I think it just has like a little cameo, but I don't think it actually has any.
I want this key.
The key's pretty dope.
I want it. So if there's any prop master or if someone on Etsy, I don't know, can I commission this key to be made for me? Because
it would be nice on the mantle, you know?
It'd be nice on the mantle because I, no joke, as a kid, used to draw stars on my hands.
Who didn't?
I used to draw stars in my hands. Maybe I'll get that as a tattoo.
But Larry, so the way I understand it from the way they told the story was that these keys are like predate Christ and Christianity all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it has almost very little to do with any of that. And it just so happens that the blood of a holy man is one of the only things that's keeping the demons from touching this thing, which is like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It's not a Christ movie. Yeah. Yeah. It has very little to do with it. I mean, it has a little bit to do with Christianity, but it has very little to do with that. Just saying that, like, yeah, the blood of a holy man. It could have been any holy man. And I guess once, you know, the demon knight, I guess you could almost, yeah. Is a holy man.
It is a holy man. So that's why they've been filling up the blood from like each person that its predecessor. So William Sadler has taken it from his buddy that gave it to him in World War I. And that's another question too, because we are in 1995 and we're like, whoa, fuck, this guy's been here since 1917 or whatever. And he still looks like he's, I don't know, 38, 39 in this movie.
Like, William Sadler's always looked like that.
Yeah, I know, it's true. But that just kind of leads you to believe like, oh, so you in a way become immortal until your time comes and the stars align and you're supposed to fight. You fight the demon.
Yeah. So then, because once you die in the name of this fight, you're a martyr and now you're a saint and now your blood is holy.
Exactly. And then the next person fills up your blood like Jada Pinkett does before she heads off on her own adventure.
This is rife with like it's good world building and
it's
like
good world building, a good script, like, a great cast.
Like my comic book mind is just like, dude, you could have made spinoffs. You could have done prequels. You could have done all sorts of stuff. Like this is.
I would have loved to see the next one with Jada Pinkett, and then I didn't grab the actor's name, but we do meet the next collector.
Yeah,
like he has the same briefcase, you know. R.I.P. Billy Zane, though. Sad about that because I will watch that man in anything.
Oh, you mean in the movie?
Yeah, I just meant like I would have liked more Billy Zane demon. I'm a little disappointed that he seemed to be killed so easily. That was when I rewatched it last night, I was like, but. I mean, I understand maybe spitting the blood in his eyes, I guess, does kill him. But we're led to believe that, like, hurting his eyes doesn't really do much because he's not, like, a lesser demon.
Yeah. But
again, plot hole, who cares?
You were trying, like, it's a legit, like, even they try to explain it to us, like, in the movie, they're like, oh, so that stuff only works on the low-level demons. Like, yeah, sure, if you tell us. Yeah. You know,
I believe you, Billy Zane.
Yeah, I believe you. Yeah. Like
you can't believe him because everything that comes out of his mouth is nonsense.
Yeah, fair. Oh, that would have also been really good. Yeah, that also been really good. Yeah, you can't believe anything he says because he's just a liar. Yeah, liar, who lies? Yeah.
He just lies. You can't. There's not one time where you like are supposed to believe him. He gets Cordelia first because she's the weakest.
Yeah, he tries to seduce everybody.
Yeah.
And I forgot what he tells her. Oh, I think he just
tells her that she's beautiful. He's like, you're so beautiful, you deserve better. And boom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was in a low point because Roach just beat her. So like,
yeah, again, Roach, her not really necessarily a boyfriend because he pays for sex from her, but
number one,
regular customer, I guess you should say. And then we have a little cuck Wally who's in love with her, and then come to find out that guy's a psycho who was planning on like blowing up the post office because they find all of his armor and his bombs in the attic, and you're like, that took a twist. Kind of glad Wally got eaten by Cordelia like right away.
It was always, for some reason, it was like this thing where for a long time where it was just like, yeah, for some reason, that's where the term going postal is from, you know, because for some reason, post office workers, you know, I don't know if it was true or not, or if there's like the one case of it where a postal worker went kind of, you know, off the rails and shot some people. But yeah, but I like this red herring. We're like, oh, we found all this guns, but we found no bullets. So we're still screwed.
We can't get anyone.
I actually really liked that for a second. It also like really well-rounded characters because it was Irene and Deputy Bob at the end, like they're just like sacrificing. They know what's on the line. And after they find their armory, they find a bunch of grenades too. And Irene, who's, you forget, Irene lost an arm, but she's also on a lot of vodka. And I'm like, rewatching that scene, I was like, yeah, if I was drunk too, I would be like, okay, I guess I'm going to commit suicide right now and take out all these demons. Like, other than that, if I was sober, I'd be like, fuck no.
Yeah, but like, she drank a bottle of vodka, she lost an arm, and I just really don't think she exactly, I agree with you. I'd be like, I'd probably be like, yeah, I'm out of this. Like,
yeah, yeah. And then mind you, right after that, the whole place explodes. They're up, the remaining people are in the attic. Frank, Geraldine, and the boy, Billy, or whatever. And Billy doesn't even give a fuck that two people just blew themselves up downstairs.
No, he's like, gotta read this comic.
Gotta read this comic, which was really fucking weird. And that's before he's seduced.
Yes.
So, like, so just like, oh, homie's a sociopath. Like,
yeah, like, he's not much of a character at all. So I enjoy when he does get turned into a demon, because his demon is probably, like, prosthetic-wise, the most exciting to look at.
It happened to him and Cordelia when the humans get seduced, their bodies go through it. Like, they're a different kind of demon.
Yeah, they don't look like the other ones.
So it's super fun and engaging. I'm sure there's a whole fucking bunch of lore and fucking myth that they made up for this fucking movie that's there. Yeah, this movie's rich with storytelling. It's just unfortunate.
And
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, no. Okay, I was going to say, the other demons that hang out with Billy Zane, like, if you actually take a second to, like, look at them, they're all wearing high heels, basically.
Oh, yeah.
The way they walk. Like, it's really cool.
If you pay attention to some of the scenes, you could see them stumble. Because I caught it. One scene in particular. After Irene and Deputy Bob blow themselves up, I think it's beforehand. Billy Zane gets the key. They start walking up the stairs and he's doing his little 1-2 and all your eyes are on Billy Zane. But if you watch the two demons behind him, the second one behind him, it like stumbles and grabs onto the railing because he's about to fucking eat it.
It's like, oh shit. Because those are like the tricky heels that they have on. Those aren't the ones that like have stilettos. Like, those are the ones that are only like you're walking on your tiptoes.
It's like a stilt almost, but like,
yeah,
like
it's not made to walk
on stairs for them. Like, mm-hmm. it's really tricky because you have to be very precise in your steps with it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that I don't think Billy Zane's had like, he's had a decent career, but I don't think he's had like an amazing career.
I did take a second to watch a little bit of Titanic last night. Not the whole thing. I didn't have the whole thing in me. But he does get spit in the face in both movies. Funny enough. Oh. He gets spit in the face in this movie and he gets spit in the face in Titanic.
Oh, he did this before Titanic.
Yes. This is before Titanic. And I would argue Titanic being one of his most memorable roles. He's fantastic at playing an asshole, as we know. But I do follow him on Instagram, and he's an artist. He's a painter, and people commission his work. So dude's working, but maybe less so of the acting. He's definitely had his roles. I don't know. Obviously never met him, but seems like a pretty kind of elegant dude.
Once we get the funds going, we're gonna pay for Courtney to go meet Billy Zane in a con.
Oh my god, I would probably be like, "Listen to me, sir." No, I would never tell him. I'd be like, "Oh yes, been in love with you since I was a little girl."
But like looking back on it, like he looked younger in Titanic than he did because he had like a full head of hair, and I feel like they had put the mm-hmm. eyeliner on him or whatever. What do you mean? The Phantom? That's not his most memorable role.
No, I mean, I've seen The Phantom. I have. But Cowboy Billy Zane, like, just hits.
Fun fact about The Phantom. He got so ripped for that movie they didn't need to put like any like cushioning in his suit because he filled it out. Like, homie was dedicated to that role. Oh,
that's just all him. Okay.
That was all him. He was dedicated to that role. He was like, I'm going to be the new Batman, whatever. And he put himself through it. So hats off to Billy Zane for trying to commit, you know?
I have no notes for Billy Zane at all. He also is in one of my other favorite. It's an episode of Tales from the Crypt he's in. And I honestly think it's called something about being a ham. I can't remember the title of the episode. Because Billy Zane is a motherfucking ham. Like, in the best way. He's just, like you said it earlier, like, he's the reason why I go back and watch his film over and over again. My eyes are drawn to him 100% of the time. One of my favorite, I had to go back and watch it a couple times because it made me laugh so hard in this movie, is because when Roach is like, hey, I got the key. I'm going to give you the key. Please like save my life. And then Billy Zane being the demon is like, oh yeah, of course I'll save your life. Like, you can trust me. And Roach says this line where he's like, yeah, well, if it makes, or cause he's like, well, you can go ahead and kill all the rest of them. Like, I don't care. You know, if it makes you feel good, do it. And Billy Zane, as he walks up the stairs, goes, if it makes you feel good, do it.
If it makes you feel good, do it. If it makes you feel good, do it. 100%. Like,
and I rewatched it a couple of times, it made me laugh so hard.
we could recommend this, like, we could recommend this movie just on Billy Zane alone, but it actually, like, storytelling.
The story, as we just explained, there's good storytelling, and it is a great cast. Every single cast member delivers, except for, I guess, Danny, little kid. Not a really great kid actor.
No, it's not so much the kid is a fucking maniac probably beforehand. But, like, no, 100%. Yeah, go watch Demon Knight. This is one we could definitely recommend. It's rated 42%. on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like, I guess, I mean, it's not a spectacular, it's an entertaining movie, but it's, like I said, it's not a very
scary movie. I disagree with that one, but it is way better than Bordello of Blood.
Yeah, Bordello of Blood was just
Bordello of Blood. Okay, the episode, sorry, I had to say for a second, the episode that Billy Zane is in for Tales of the Crypt is called Well Cooked Ham.
Can you give me the premise real quick? Can you write down this? I actually, I love it because I couldn't find it.
Well-cooked right hams, excuse me. A ruthless young magician kills an elderly rival magician for his grand prop, the Box of Death.
Ooh.
Because Billy Zane wants to be the most famous magician.
Might remember that one, but I don't know if I feel like there were several anthologies. And every anthology has a magician episode.
Like, everyone, I knew.
Every horror anthology.
Everyone has one. And it's like, also reminds me of that shitty magician in Leprechaun 3.
Yeah, I've already wiped that from the memory. I've taken that out of my memory.
I refuse to remember Leprechaun 3.
I took that out of the memory warehouse and I burned it to the furnace.
Okay, well, you know it's still in mine.
All right, guys. Well, hope you enjoyed this episode. You got anything else, Courtney? Before we
no, just go watch it. It's easy. It's an hour and a half, and it's actually really good.
Yeah, very well paid. It didn't drag at all. Like it was. Yeah,
100%. It's in my heart forever. Thank you, Edgar, for finally agreeing to do this one.
100%. All right, we'll tune in next time, guys. Might be giving you a little bit of a dead air in between. Currently coming over a cold, so if it don't sound great, you know. But thanks, Courtney, for taking the reins on this one. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
We'll see you guys next time. Follow us on all the socials.
Yeah,
give us a like, subscribe, and all that.
Still jazz. On TikTok, y'all.
Yeah, I guess we're back on TikTok now. Do you still have TikTok? Did you delete it?
Yeah, I mean, I just was like, well, I guess we're done with this. And then a good old 15 hours later, I'm like, wow.
You mean the darkest 15 hours in American history?
I'm not emotionally connected to TikTok like that. So I didn't feel that, but whatever.
Yeah. But we'll see you guys later. But I guess we're going back on TikTok.
We're back. We're back on TikTok. So go give us a follow and leave comments and start talking with us. We love it.